When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I remember that for myself and for my sisters, the best time of day was about, say, 6 or 7 in the evening when my dad would come home from work. We would wait by the window, watching for his car to pull into the driveway, and then we would run to the door, ready to surprise him when he opened it. We would shout, "Daddy!" And we would jump up into his arms and all over him, and it was a great, great moment of joy for all of us. Sometimes we'd bring to him a piece of art that we had made during the day or some other thing that we had done. We'd show him what we could do now. We would show what we could do, what we had done. And he would smile and he would admire our art or just have fun with us for a moment there. And it really was a beautiful, wonderful time. Waiting for our father to come home was a joyful time because we loved him and wanted to spend time with him. But watching for my father to come home could also be a painful time. On those days when I had done something particularly bad, my mother required that I tell my father what I had done when he came home. And I remember being in mortal terror, just absolutely dreading the moment when that door opened and I had to stand before him and say, "I broke the lamp," or "I pulled my sister's hair," or whatever it was. So that was a dreadful moment to be feared. But always after, you know, a few tears and some difficult moments, I was forgiven and given a way to make up for what I had done. And then I knew I could go on with my life after that. So sometimes it was a joyful moment, and sometimes not as often, sometimes a painful moment. And you know, our relationship with God can be similar. Let's look at the first reading today from Isaiah. Some days we await for the coming of the Lord with a yearning, because we long for the good times that we've had before when he came. Isaiah says this, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, with the mountains quaking before you, while you wrought awesome deeds that we could not hope for, such as they had not heard of from of old." But at other times, we are more ashamed of our sins and fearful of God. Isaiah says this, "Behold, you are angry, and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean people. All our good deeds are like polluted rags, and we have all withered like leaves, and our guilt carries us away like the wind." But unlike Isaiah, who sat in darkness, waiting for the light, waiting to hear what God would do, wondering how God would finally cleanse us from our sins and save us from that ever-growing evil in our lives, we no longer have to wonder how God is going to redeem his children. We no longer have to contemplate how the potter is going to fix perfectly the clay that is the work of his hands. God the Father has sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus, to enrich us in every way, to fill us with the grace and favor of God, to save us, to forgive us of our sins, so that we may not be lacking in any spiritual gift. And so St. Paul writes to the Corinthians in today's second reading that he always gives thanks for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. He gives thanks. And when he says he gives thanks for you, He means you. He means me. He means for the whole church that together is waiting for the second coming of our Savior. We have indeed truly been blessed by our God and Father by his gift of Jesus, his Son, who is the image of the Father. At the Last Supper, the Apostle Philip says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." And then Jesus says to him, "How long have I been with you, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me?" In Jesus, in God made flesh, we really do meet God, not as some distant, abstract authority figure, but concretely in flesh and blood. We meet the abundantly clear manifestation of the great love of God for us, that the Father loves us so much that he calls us his children. What a great gift it is to be God's children. We can be so intimate with him as to receive him into our bodies, his body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion. What a great gift it is that we can come to him in the sacrament of reconciliation to be relieved of our sins and to receive the strength to sin no more. What a great gift that we can offer in prayer to the Father those good deeds that we have worked on today so that he can smile at the goodness of his children. Advent is a wonderful time of watchful waiting when we remember all of the abundant gifts that are the result of Christ's first coming. And we look forward even more to the awesome gifts that are in store in his second. Even now, though, God cannot contain himself. He cannot resist giving good things to us, his children. In particular, God gives us the gift of time. And so as we begin this new liturgical year, Happy New Year, and it's a good time to reflect on the time that we have, the time that we have been given, and how we can use that as children of God. One of the best ways we can use our time is to spend time with our Father, quality time with God, in prayer. God has also given us the gift of resources and the privilege to be able to share them with other people. What makes a father most happy is to give gifts to his children, particularly gifts that they enjoy and use. And so we share in that, and that we can give to others what they truly need. One of the best ways to appreciate a gift is to go without it for a short period of time, to remember just how good it really is and how wonderful it makes our life, and so that we do not take it for granted. And so Advent is a time to do all these things, because Advent is traditionally a time when we pray. We increase our prayer, spend a little bit more time with the Lord. We fast, we abstain from good things to remind us of the good things that God has given to us. And we give to the poor. We give to the poor because Christ didn't, although he was God, he didn't cling to his godhood as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and became a poor slave, became like us. And in sharing with the poor, we remind ourselves that it's Christ to whom we are giving. It's Christ that we see in every needy person. In addition to being great ways to experience anew God's gifts, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we are strengthened in virtue. We grow in love of God and love of neighbor. And who doesn't want that, right? So I encourage you, in particular this Advent, maybe today, this Sunday, to talk with your family, to talk with your kids about how you can grow in prayer together as a family this Advent, how you can grow together in almsgiving and in fasting, and together we can remember even more greatly all of the gifts that God has given to us. And when we do this, we are not like Philip the apostle, who has in some sense forgotten that in Jesus he sees the Father. It can be easy for us to forget Jesus, who came among us 2,000 years ago. Well, where is he today? We've been Christians for maybe all of our lives, or most of our lives. It's easy to forget that we are all waiting in anticipation for the glory of Jesus' second coming. Jesus says in the gospel, "May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch."